From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to you. Welcome to the Bishop's Hour. Appreciate you all joining us here as we move beyond Easter Sunday and move into April, but we are still in the Easter season. Appreciate you all being with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're glad to welcome in Deacon Kevin Stasko, the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry and also Family and Faith Formation. Can you fit that all on a business card?
Doesn't really fit.
Doesn't really fit. So. You've got many titles.
Yes, that was my gift during COVID was getting another department. So
yes.
That was great.
Yes.
So, and anyway.
A blessed Holy Week, I presume, and very, very active for a deacon. Talk just for a minute about what Holy Week and being a deacon.
Well, you know, I was just reflecting today on the Triduum and how in some ways as a deacon, it's hard to really celebrate the Triduum because you have so much to do.
So much to do, sure.
It's a lot to do, you know. So if you participate in the whole Triduum and you're the only deacon in the parish, then there's a lot you have to do. And this year I didn't preach and I didn't chant the Exalted. One of the priests did that. So that was off my plate. But I remember last year, it was the last year or 2 years ago where I had to preach, do the Exalted, and during the Triduum, and it was just a lot, right? You're running around doing a lot because you're elevating the cross, and then you're elevating the candle at the Easter Vigil, and so there's a lot to do, and so it tends to be very busy for a deacon. I mean, it's beautiful. It's such a beautiful service, and it's such a beautiful thing to be just to be involved. In all the sacraments, be right there holding the candle for the sacraments and, to be there holding the chrism oil for the confirmations and to be up at the altar, when the Eucharist is confected. It's such a beautiful thing. But I think in some ways the Triduum is very busy for a deacon and a lot, especially if you're trying to, corral the altar servers. I don't have as many. Some of the deacons are like the head, basically, emceeing the whole thing and have a liturgical role. So it's a lot to do, but it really is beautiful. I mean, I think there's some people that have never gone to the whole Triduum. I think it's really important to do that because it's really three parts of the same liturgy.
Sure.
And so that's where that's why it really is so beautiful. And of course, I get to do the special sending at the end, and so I have to practice that. Everybody's always amazed I can actually do it.
Well, for those that are new to the program, or maybe you're just flipping through the dial and you go, what's this about? The Triduum, Triduum. It's like vacuum. I think it's the only other word than vacuum that has a double U. We should just put a W in there. But it's Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then Holy Saturday, leading up to Easter Sunday.
It's really a beautiful celebration and the highest the most important celebration of the year.
Sure.
For the church, and so it's always the services are long, right? Yeah. And it's formal, right? It's not definitely not an informal liturgy, but it's just really a beautiful experience. I'm always proud. My daughter, who's 17, says it's her favorite, liturgy.
That's wonderful.
Holy Saturday is her favorite liturgy, but she really likes Holy Thursday, and she likes the whole, the whole thing. My daughters are always involved with the teens do a Stations of the Cross at 2 o'clock at St. Clair every year
Friday.
On Good Friday. So they really enjoy doing that. And I'm blessed that I'm assigned at St. Lawrence, but our services are in the evening at 7. So I'm always able to be there for the
for the
Stations of the Cross when my daughters are in it. My one daughter was Veronica, and the other daughter was the narrator this year. So, that was cool.
But we had Bishop Soto on recently, and he's talked about the numbers of candidates and catechumens being pretty darn good.
Yeah,
especially maybe COVID is completely in the rearview mirror now in terms of. of our numbers recovering.
Yeah, I was surprised that, you know, the numbers are back, right? Because, I mean, you know, everything you're – all these studies you're reading, everyone's leaving the church,
sure.
leaving the church for good. I know this study that came out, I think it was last week, said that,
right.
you know, 25% of people in the United States are unaffiliated. And,
right.
And of those 25 that are unaffiliated with any religion, not just Christian religion, just unaffiliated with religion at all, 25% – of the respondents, right? Only 11% of that number were even looking for a church.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's so like, it's not like they're seekers. Like, we're looking for a church, and so we could say, "Oh, our evangelization efforts, we're going to target
right.
these 25% of unaffiliated." They've decided for whatever reason to leave.
Yeah.
So it's exciting that you know, again, and I think the article gave rise to, like, hey, we don't need to change. You know, necessarily change what we do. We need to stick to our truth, and
sure.
and it's attractive to people, right? Our you know, our in a certain sense, you know, it's not everybody, right? A lot of the 25% that have left the Catholic Church have done that because of our doctrine. You know, they don't like what we teach, right?
Right.
So that, you know, there's going to be a certain percentage that do that. But I also think
there's nothing you can do about that.
No, there's nothing you can do that, right? I mean,
yeah.
you present, and if people reject the teachings of the church, they reject the teachings of the church. I mean, you don't give up. You still try to you
sure.
know, still try to talk to
sure.
them. You still try to love them. You still try to show them that following the doctrines of the church really lead to a happy and satisfying life here and in the next
right.
life.
Right?
Right. If you don't have the next life, it's sometimes it's harder to make the argument, right? I mean, that's the issue too. Like,
sure.
you know, we believe that, you know, if you follow our doctrine and believe and have a relationship with Jesus, and that there is another life, right? That it's not
right.
over, right? And so, but we don't live like that a lot. As Catholics, I think sometimes we don't live like
yep. no.
there's another life, right? We live like this is all there
this
is.
This is it, yeah.
You know? And so I think that's, you know, part of that whole, you know, the gospel that people really read is your life, right? What is our attitude, you know? Do we have the hope of this Easter season? I mean, I think some of us Catholics have a hard time keeping hopeful for the 50 days of Easter, right?
Sure.
Much less being hopeful every day because we believe that, you know, Jesus already redeemed us. Jesus has conquered death. You know, the beauty of Easter, you know, is celebrated every single Mass we
yeah.
go to, right? And should be alive in us, you know, every day.
Yeah, that's why you see some churches that sort of preach the gospel of prosperity have attracted great numbers because they're talking about right now, you're going to get wealthier, wealthier in the common meaning of the word.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
put $10 in the basket and you're going to get 100 somehow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so. That's not what we preach.
Well, and I think, you know, to realize, you know, that's why the Triduum is so beautiful, right? It's the whole celebration of, like, the whole, you know, the whole Paschal mystery. So the suffering and death and the resurrection
right.
and the ascension of Jesus all celebrated completely, right? And a lot of that is the suffering and the death, right?
Right.
And the darkness, right? We don't
really,
stray away
really
from
starting
that.
With Palm Sunday, even.
If, well, and, if, and in fact, you have to listen. You know, it's like, yeah. And if you go to Palm Sunday, you have to listen to the Passion twice.
Twice. That's right. That's right.
You know what I mean? You only get the resurrection reading once, but you have to listen to the Passion.
That's right.
The 25-minute-long, 30-minute-long reading of the Passion twice.
I remember right? when our kids were little, sort of cautioning them that this was going to be on Palm Sunday. This was going to be a fairly long segment there, but they liked the back and forth. They liked
we do the dialogue now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so. So when, you know, you're very close to this, but when I've talked to people over the years on this show and just privately even that are converts, the number one thing I hear why they came over is the Eucharist. Everybody's story is unique as to why they come, why they've converted. Some of them are converted, some people didn't have any faith at all. And
yeah, I think it's the Eucharist. I also think it's the community, right? Like I do think, you know, obviously, you know, the Eucharist is the source and summit. It's like what we're about, right? So
right.
if you're not if you don't love the Eucharist, you're not really Catholic. You know, you really aren't. But I do think that for a lot of people, it is, you know, it is the Eucharist, but it's also that idea that of the communion of the people of the community, right?
Sure.
This idea that this is a community of people that I really connect with, right? And then and then that draws me in to this sacramental life that I think is really, I mean, I think it really feeds us spiritually, you know, if you really connect with it. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, there's so many people, they just go to Mass and they just go out of obligation.
Right.
But they keep going, right? And there's a reason. I think there's something they get out of it, right? If nothing else, it's like, oh my goodness, I have to, it might be an obligation. I have to give back to God because I've gotten so much, right? You know, that idea of thanksgiving and gratitude, that's what Eucharist means, right? It might mean that whole idea of sacrifice and suffering. I'm sacrificed and suffering right now in my life, and I don't know why. But, you know, this person, Jesus, sacrificed and suffered for me. Maybe if I join my suffering with him, it'll make more sense of my life, right? Maybe it's like I need something. I'm not sure what it is. I don't really understand the mystery of the Eucharist, but I'm hoping this is going to make my life, you know, better, right? I mean, I think that this reality of having the real presence of Jesus, not just up there on the altar, but inside me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of like that Gatorade commercial. Is it in you?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, wow. I mean, if you think about that, I just think the imagery of that Gatorade commercial with it pulsing, you know, the Gatorade pulsing through your veins. I try to, that's my image of the Eucharist.
Oh, that's great.
It's just like, oh my goodness, it's in me. Like, I'm like, what, you know, like, what does this mean?
Right? That's great image.
And it should transform you, right? Is it in you? So I think that idea too of like if we can harness or connect with that reality. And sometimes it's just like, wow, the presence of God actually here, right? That's what we really believe. We really believe the presence of God is right here. I don't have to, you know, travel to the Vatican or to the pyramids to see God. God is right here, present with me, right? And Jesus loves me so much that he's present and wants to be part of my life every day. And when I receive the Eucharist, I become more like him, right? And ultimately, that's our goal.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said. So, moving on, we have a Eucharistic pilgrimage coming up. Not the we already did the procession here in Sacramento and from the three parishes and everything, but this is going to go all the way across the country.
Yeah, so there's four Eucharistic, it's called the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage. There's four routes from four places in the country, all ending up in Indianapolis. So our route is called the Sarah route, after Junipero Serra. He's our patron for this route. And it will start in San Francisco on Pentecost, and it will travel through San Francisco, the Archdiocese of San Francisco, and then it will come across to Vallejo, and then we will be start of our diocese. And the bishops decided that we are going to travel by boat. So we're going to travel by boat on the Sacramento River.
I just love that.
Because the Sacramento River was named after the Blessed Sacrament, and the city of Sacramento was actually named after the river. So our city technically is named after the Blessed Sacrament. So the idea is we will travel on the river. So we're going to go from Vallejo to Benicia to Rio Vista to Clarksburg on the first day.
That's all Sacramento River.
And at each of those places, we'll stop to do a procession to the parish and a short period of adoration.
And both the Rio Vista and Clarksburg, boy, they're right on the river.
Right on the river, yep. And then once we finish that leg, the next morning, we're going to take the boat on the river from Clarksburg to West Sacramento. There's a new dock that's been built alongside the ziggurat building there,
right,
and which is right next to the Tower Bridge. So we're going to go there. The first day, the day along the Sacramento River, again, that's Vallejo, Benicia, Rio Vista, Clarksburg. That day, the bishop wants to focus on praying for farm workers and migrant workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be trying to include them, inviting them primarily to the celebration in Clarksburg because it's in the evening after their work hours, and then also doing a special blessing and prayer for them. The second day, the bishop wants to focus on the unhoused, the homeless people, population. And so when we arrive in Sacramento, the bishop will take the Eucharist by car to Loaves and Fishes.
Okay.
And they'll be doing an adoration service at Friendship Park in the morning.
So Doc and West Sac and go over the Tower Bridge and...
Yeah, so they'll just drive over there, and then it will come back to the Tower Bridge, and we'll do a procession across the Tower Bridge to the cathedral for the noon mass, the 12:10 mass that they usually have.
Right,
and they usually have adoration that day after mass from 1 to 4. So the Eucharist will travel there. They'll have mass. They'll have adoration there. So that's day two.
Do we have the dates?
So the first day is on Tuesday, May 21st. That's our River Day, Vallejo. I think the mass is at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then we'll be doing a
masses. Will all be in parishes?
Yeah, in the parishes. Mass at 8 o'clock in the morning. So we'll start in Vallejo, and as I said, we're making a stop in. You can go to our website, scd.org/celebrate, and the poster is there. The best thing to do would be to print out the poster. If you can print it on 11 by 14, do that. Or you can print it on 8.5 by 11, or just look at it on your computer.
Right.
That has like the whole route, all the times, everything. So you're welcome to come to Mass at Vallejo in the morning. You're welcome to come to the Adoration Service in Rio Vista or in Benicio and Rio Vista, and then also the late night Adoration at 8:15 p.m. at Clarksburg. The next day, the event at Friendship Park is a private event. There's just not room for the whole public to show up at Friendship Park. So it's just the procession, which starts at 11 on the West Sacramento side of the Tower Bridge.
Okay.
It's in between the Ziggurat Building and the Tower Bridge.
Right.
There's a public park there. And so we're going to
The Ziggurat Building is the one that looks like a pyramid.
Looks like a pyramid, yeah. So we're going to gather there, and then we'll cross the Tower Bridge to the cathedral for Mass. So you're welcome to the procession. If you can't process, then you're welcome to come to the cathedral for Mass and stay for adoration after that.
Of course, you got Our Lady of Grace right there in West Sac, almost the Tower Bridge.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close. They just didn't have a big enough parking lot for us to...
They don't.
they don't have a lot of space, so we couldn't go there. We actually looked at using the Rivercats Stadium, but there's another... I guess there's...
Sutter Health Park, they call it now.
Yeah, I think there's 2 or 3 high school graduations happening that day, so it's going to be busy over there. So, but then we're going to be the next day, which is Thursday. That's Thursday, the 23rd of May. We're going to be starting at Folsom Prison with Mass. Bishop will do Mass with the parishioners, with the prisoners, the incarcerated there. And then we will do a procession from the parking lot or through the prison. And then we'll meet up with the parishioners from St. John the Baptist in Folsom in the parking lot of the prison. And we'll be doing a procession from the prison parking lot to St. John the Baptist in Folsom, which isn't very far away. And when we get to the parish, there'll be a long period of adoration, several choirs, some speakers, like a whole kind of a Eucharistic celebration day there at St. John's in Folsom. So we'll be publishing that schedule soon, and then people can come and adore the Eucharist anytime during the day and be part of the procession if they'd like.
Right.
And then that evening at Holy Trinity Parish in El Dorado Hills, we're going to have a special adoration for youth at 7 o'clock. So we're inviting all the youth groups and the young adult groups, any young people that would like to come. It's going to be 7 to 8 o'clock holy hour at Holy Trinity in El Dorado Hills. The beautiful thing about all of this is that the bishop is going to be at every single one of these events. The bishop has marked his calendar out for 4 days, and he'll be joining us the whole time. So that's the end of the third day. And the fourth day will start in Placerville. We'll be at St. Patrick's Parish in Placerville for the morning mass. Don't quote me on it, but I think it's at 8:30. And we're going to be doing a mass in the morning and then a procession over to the Mother Teresa Maternity Home. That day, the bishop has asked us to focus on moms in need and the environment. So in the morning, we'll focus on moms in need with a kind of a private service in the backyard of the St. Teresa Maternity Home because it's very small. And then we'll process back to the parish for adoration. And then after that, it'll drive to South Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
And there'll be a
adoration. We're not going to try to go on the American River.
No.
Especially in May with all that snow.
It'd be too fast. Well,
it'd be going the wrong way, too.
I don't know how we do that. You need a pretty powerful boat to get
up
the river that way. But we're doing adoration at 5:30 at the parish. And then
in South Lake Tahoe.
At South Lake Tahoe.
Was that St. Teresa?
St. Teresa in South Lake Tahoe at 5:30 on the 24th. That's a Friday. And then we're going to process, do a boat procession from the Tahoe Keys Marina to Incline, Nevada, St. Francis Parish in Incline. So we'll be doing a boat there, and then a procession from a dock in Incline to the parish.
And Lake Tahoe is divided right down the middle between California and Nevada.
Yeah, and that's a long. I didn't realize how many miles that is. That's a lot of miles on the lake.
It really is. Yeah,
it's like 15 miles or 20 miles.
It's a big lake
on the lake. So anyway, so we're going to be going across the lake for Lake Tahoe and kind of praying for the environment. And so anyway, so it's going to be a beautiful celebration. And again, unfortunately, to get to the route is a long drive for many of the people in our diocese.
Sure.
But we're trying to encourage anyone, any parish who hears about this, to go to that website, scd.org/celebrate. There's a link there to the national website where you can kind of like RSVP for different events. All of our events are on there. So if you want to attend any of them, you can RSVP and then be updated on information on those events. Or just look at that website, scd.org/celebrate. And there's a poster there you can download, et cetera. But the idea would be to just organize a trip with your family or members of your parish or the group that you belong to at your parish to come to one of the events. You don't have to come to the long, procession if you don't want to. You could just come and just, come to one of the adoration events. But trying to get as many of our diocesan people to be part of something during the thing. I guess if you really wanted to get into it, they are processing across the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. So you could do the Golden Gate Bridge and then the Tower Bridge and then Lake Tahoe or something. You could make it a big trip if you'd like. But it's going to be, again, the 21st, the 24th of May. I know that's like graduation time. That's a busy time of year for a lot of families. But we're hoping some people can come out. It's during the week, so.
And then presumably the Diocese of Reno will march across.
Yeah, they're going to have a day of service and a mass in Reno the next day. I think they're driving to Reno, and then
there's
one other event and then I think it's going
presumably it's to going Salt up, Lake. I would think.
Well, I think it's actually going north and then back down south or something. So I think it might be going up to
Boise.
Oh,
okay.
I think it might be going. I don't know exactly.
We have kind of a straight shot to Indianapolis compared to some.
Our sense was that it was going to go straight across.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we kind of planned that. But then if you look at the route, it looks like it goes up a little ways. And they're just trying to include more places, right? Because we're the or does it go down to Arizona? I don't know. You have to look at the map.
I'll look at the map.
But it's beautiful. The map it's cool. They have a whole interactive map. You can like plan your own pilgrimage. They also have instructions on there. If if you're not going to do the national one, how you could do a local one in your town or in your city or in a park or whatever, in the different, how your parish could plan its own pilgrimage.
We could have combined it with the eclipse.
Just follow the line of the eclipse, right? Just be dark. It'll be candlelight the whole way.
Oh, yes.
Because if we walk fast enough, we could just be in the dark, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's cool.
That's very, that's.
Anyway, it should be, it should be a nice thing of the 21st through the 24th. And, We're hoping people, support it.
So that'll be a Tuesday through a Friday.
Tuesday through Friday.
Yeah.
21st through the 24th of May.
Boy, that's wonderful.
Coming up pretty quick here, 6 weeks away.
Yeah, it's like it's we're already into April, so that's wonderful. So Radiate Love. We're starting to hear about Radiate Love.
So if you haven't heard about Radiate Love, you should go to the website radiatelove.info and you should sign up on that website, radiatelove.info. The California Catholic bishops have decided that they want to follow up our Eucharistic revival year with a marriage revival.
Right.
And the idea is to inform every parishioner in our parishes about the beauty of the church's teachings on love and marriage and how important that is. This isn't a campaign that is geared towards the general public in California,
mm-hmm.
because that's a hard sell, right? But what the bishops are concerned about is they want to make sure that our people understand what our real teaching on marriage,
sure.
and marriage, love, and family life are,
right?
And make sure that we have a good grasp of that, so that we can share that gospel message with others.
Right.
And so it'll be a year-long campaign from the bishops, and they've designated one Sunday or one weekend every month, and have asked the deacons and priests of the state to preach on marriage, on a certain theme of marriage that Sunday. They've also designed bulletin inserts and catechetical lessons for all mm-hmm. age groups, so that our faith formation programs and our sacramental preparation programs for children, for youth, and for adults can all try to teach people about marriage as well. And it'll be backed up with a social media campaign and a website campaign and some print stuff. But the idea is to really promote this idea of radiate love, why our teachings about marriage and why they're important, and connecting that to the Eucharist. Of course, the Eucharist is also the wedding feast of the Lamb, right?
Right.
So I won't try to explain all of that to you now, but it's great because they're trying to transition from this Eucharistic revival into a marriage revival. And Bishop Soto has said, how can we have a Eucharistic revival without a marriage revival? Because
mm-hmm.
so many
mm-hmm.
people don't receive the Eucharist because of their marital status.
That's right.
And so how do we heal that so that people can fully participate in the Eucharist, right? I mean, that's important. So I think this campaign, this year-long campaign, each of the bishops is doing a video. Some of those are already posted on radiatelove.info. I think those videos might be a good source to just watch those videos and have discussions about the various themes that the bishops
right.
are trying to promote. But I think it would be a great opportunity. But again, if you go to radiatelove.info,
mm-hmm.
you'll get emails on, monthly email
on
what's going on. You can help. And what we're looking for is, this is only going to work if there's a certain number of people in each parish that are passionate about it and
right.
want to make sure that the information gets shared.
Exactly.
And so you can be a liaison to your parish to share this information that the bishops are so excited about.
And California Catholic Conference, which represents all the bishops of California, also has information on Radiate Love as well. Probably
yeah. Yeah.
very
so that's
similar.
That's to just
Radiate
their website. So
radiatelove.info
yeah. is their. Basically their website. It just
yeah.
takes you to their website.
Right.
But you can sign up on there for the email specifically for Radiate Love.
That's great. That's great. And speaking of the conference, you can also sign up for all their legislative alerts and everything. It's just a wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful service they provide.
Yeah, and so and that's the other thing that they really do is they are doing advocacy on different bills, right?
Right.
So the bishops decide which bills they want to take positions on,
right.
and they're trying to organize Catholics to vote for or against certain bills,
right.
To see their legislators and talk to them about those bills from a Catholic perspective.
Right.
And so there's a bunch of ways to get involved there. But like I said, radiatelove.info. Specifically for that campaign, and it'll also tie you into the rest of the California Conference's work.
Very good. You have a couple of positions open in your department.
Yes, I wanted to share with you that we have two jobs that are open now in the department around Respect Life and Family Life. So the first job is our Gabriel Project Coordinator. We've had the woman who's been running our Gabriel Project for the last year or so, she has three young children and has decided that it's too much for her
mm-hmm.
to do this ministry and take care of her family. And so we're looking for a 20-hour-a-week person to coordinate the Gabriel Project. you know, and the Gabriel Project is a project really just offering help to pregnant mothers. The
mission, run on the parish level.
Yeah, and it's a parish-based ministry. And so you'd be working at the diocese to help parish-based ministries run the ministry. And the ministry is basically that each parish has their own fundraising. They raise their own money. And then when they're referred a pregnant woman who needs help, they just do whatever they can to help
right.
that woman during her pregnancy so that she can have the baby. Whether
right.
she's keeping the baby or giving the baby up for adoption, it's just this idea of like, hey, we want to make sure this baby is born and well cared for. And but it focuses on providing the mom what she needs. Sometimes that's helping with rent or food. Sometimes that's helping with clothing. Sometimes that's helping her, you know, with childcare with her other kids. It's whatever that mom needs. And it's our commitment as a Catholic Church to say, hey, we want to stop abortion, and part of that equation is really helping the moms and making it okay, no matter what the situation that the mom is in, to be able to have the baby.
And the more I read about the reasons people have abortions, that's seems to be one of the number one things is I can't afford this child. I don't have all these things, and you're trying to take away a lot of those reasons, help them in a way that they can have the child.
Yeah, and I think that's what the ministry is not about. It's not really about apologetics or and certainly there's an evangelization element. We want to invite them to be participate in the parish and be part of our Catholic faith. But there's not a requirement of that at all.
Right.
It's just how can we help you so that you can have this baby, because we want to see this baby alive and born.
How do people find out, people that may be in that situation or know somebody in that situation, how do they find out about the Gabriel Project? Do we have enough outreach?
We have the signs. You've seen the blue signs.
I've seen them,
Need help, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And has a phone number.
Yeah.
So we've been trying to figure out how to promote that better, right? So we've been trying to do more on social media, putting it on social media, putting it on the website, trying to make sure it's in every parish bulletin.
Right.
We've been trying to get more parishes involved. We find that a lot of the Gabriel projects are in the suburbs, but the need is in the inner city. So how do we get more of the inner city parishes to have these programs?
Right.
How can we partner maybe some of these suburban parishes with an inner city parish so the resources are closer to who needs it? We also do find that many times you'll have a mom who's Spanish speaking, and then all the people in the Gabriel Project only speak English. So we've been trying to work on that issue and get more bilingual or more Spanish speaking. We call them angels, the ones that volunteer in the program. We've been doing a lot. It's nice that this is now a diocesan ministry, so we're able to look at the whole
diocese. This is only in the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, it's just been 2 years, I think, that we've had it as a diocese. So we've been looking at kind of how do we – what can the diocese bring to the ministry that it didn't have before? So there's more grassroots, you know, parish to parish, parishes. So now the diocese can look and say, hey, this region of the diocese doesn't have the Gabriel Project. Let's try to get a couple of parishes started there. So recently we've started new programs in Fairfield and in Benicia, and we're just trying to outreach to the whole, make sure the whole diocese has these services. But anyway, it's a great project, and I'd love to talk to you more about it. You can reach me if you'd like to find out more about the job. You can go
20 hours a week, and it would be in at the pastoral center in downtown.
Yeah, so it's some of the work can be done from home.
Sure.
And some of the work is done like visiting and doing trainings and walking with the angels who are volunteering in the parishes. But you do have to the center, the center at least one day a week you'd be working here at the pastoral center at 2110 Broadway in Sacramento. Again, if you'd like to find out more about the job, it's on the website, scd.org/employment. It's the coordinator for Respect Life and the Gabriel Project. Or you could give me a call. I'm at 916-733-0152. We could talk some more about the job. The other job we have available is a coordinator of marriage and family life. So this job would be working on marriage preparation and making marriage preparation better in our parishes. It would be working on also working on the Radiate Love campaign, be the head person for that Radiate Love campaign. Bishop Soto really wants to kind of rejuvenate marriage preparation, mm-hmm. especially at the parish level. How do we make sure that, you know, in every area of the diocese, there's really good marriage prep available? Pope Francis has called for marriage prep to be a year long. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're ready to jump to that yet. But, you know, because it's a lifelong vocational sacrament, and sometimes we, you know, it's just a couple meetings with the priest, but we'd want to try to make the marriage preparation better. Also, working with theology of the body, this idea that we want to teach theology of the body so that our young people understand the church's teachings on love and marriage. So when they go to get prepared for marriage, they know what they're getting into.
They're right.
We're not, it's not the first time they ever heard about it when they go into marriage prep, right? Developing ministries on the parish level to support marriages. So after you're married, we're not, you know, a lot of times like you're married and we're done with you, right? No, well, we want to make sure that we're connecting married couples to parish life, making sure that their marriages are supported emotionally, spiritually, you know, and connecting with different movements that support marriage, like Marriage Encounter, Retrovi, et cetera. So this job would be trying to coordinate our marriage and family efforts. It's 20 hours a week, diocesan level. Primarily what we do in our department is train and accompany leaders. So we're equipping ministry leaders to accompany disciples of Jesus. So we're not doing the ministry with the end user. We're training volunteers and paid ministers in parishes to do the ministry for others. So as the Gabriel Project coordinator, you're primarily working with the coordinators and doing some training of the volunteers so that they can do the ministry themselves. With the marriage and family thing, it's the same idea. We're educating and giving resources to parish leaders and volunteers at the parish level to run better marriage preparation and marriage ministry moving forward.
Do you have candidates, and not specific people, but candidate in mind? I mean, do you have a description in your mind of who this candidate's going
to
be?
You know, I think for the Gabriel Project, it just needs to be somebody who's really passionate for that ministry, right? It's a fair amount of organizational communication skills. It would be nice. We would like both of these positions, if possible, to be bilingual or be able to. I mean, again, if you didn't speak Spanish and English, then you'd have to be able to easily recruit
people who could
do it in the other language, who would be willing to volunteer and help you out with this, because we're trying to that's really the reality of our diocese, especially around marriages. We want to make sure that we're communicating and educating and promoting marriage for everyone, not just those who speak English. So we want to improve our efforts in Spanish, both with the Gabriel Project, as I said before, because a lot of the clients speak Spanish, and may not speak English, and then also with the marriages to say, hey, we want to promote marriage for all people in our diocese.
Very good. How do they apply? How do they
learn more about it? You can go to that website, scd.org/employment. And if you look there, there's a link there. You can download the forms to fill out. I think there are PDFs that you can fill online and then sign them and mail them in. But they're right there. And like I said, if you have questions about either position, you can give me a call directly at 916-733-0152.
Very good. Deacon Kevin Stasko, thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
I've got chills thinking about the Eucharistic.
Hey, you should just take your whole family and you should come the whole route.
Yeah. I wish I had a boat. Of course, you could take the river road from Clarksburg.
You could drive the river road
and watch the whole way, or maybe ride your bike on that. I would not recommend riding a bike on the river road. It's too narrow.
But Bob Dunning probably still has that VW van, that Volkswagen. He's got his Volkswagen van, first one from the 60s. He's going to,
with a little pop up, the kids can look out.
Like, instead of following the dead, he's going to follow the Eucharist. That's great. New life, the Eucharist. There you go, Bob.
That would be quite an image.
There you go. All right.
Deacon Kevin, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. Blessings to you, Bob.
Blessings to you, too. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this.
We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bishop's Hour. Appreciate you all being with us on this beautiful day the Lord has made, and we're so glad to have Sister Maria Campos join us. Pull that microphone a little bit closer there. You have the gold microphone today.
Thank you.
Sister Maria is in the Department of Vocations here, the Office of Vocations for the Diocese of Sacramento. Sister, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And we won't detail it again this time, but you have such a wonderful vocation story yourself, growing up right here in Sacramento.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, and you just have thrived ever since you made that decision.
Yes, it was God's true calling, I think, in my heart.
You're one of the happiest people I've ever met.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So, so much happening in vocations.
Yes, we have.
Talk about the challenges you face in vocations.
Challenges. Well, I guess it's finding young men and women who are willing to really surrender their lives totally to God, and not to give up the material world, really,
mm-hmm.
And to say, yes, I will serve the Lord to spread his light and his love to the world.
Yeah. How do you do outreach?
Well, there are many ways. We do retreats. We do guest speaking at the parishes, mm-hmm. Different types of activities throughout the year.
Right.
We try to let them know that these are possibilities of choices in life, right?
Right.
We all have vocation. We're all called to a vocation, especially through our baptism, because right. we are to serve the Lord. But as we grow, we have to figure out how are we going to serve.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Indeed. You have a number of events coming up in
yes,
vocations.
We do. We have Jos Vocat, which will be on April 26th through the 28th, and this happens to be a retreat for young girls mm-hmm. from the ages 13 to 17.
Give those dates again, April?
April 26th through the 28th, mm-hmm. and it will be at Trinity Pines in Colfax, and the ages 13 through 17, and you can register on the website www.scd.org/Jos Vocat. Or you can call our office. Maricela Smith would be more than happy to help you. And her number is 916-733-0258. Or you can email her at msmith@scd.org.
Very good. Okay. And that is two nights overnight.
Yes, Friday through Sunday.
Beautiful
yes.
facility up
yes.
in Colfax.
Yes, Colfax. We have a lot of fun. During this, it's not just praying. It's also camaraderie, having mm-hmm. some games, and getting to know others who are also discerning, thinking about where is God calling them.
Very good, very
yes.
good.
Then we also have a vocations dinner, and that will be on Saturday, June 15th. This is put on by the Knights of Columbus, and you can buy a table or you can host a table. And the contact is George Bagley.
Mm-hmm.
And his number is 707-372-4913. And this year, the event will be held in Auburn at St. Teresa's Parish. So it'll be a wonderful event. It's always a wonderful dinner and camaraderie, again, with folks that help support our vocations.
I can speak from experience, having attended many of these, and they are... They're both moving and a lot of fun.
They are fun.
You know, and generally we get to see most of the seminarians,
and even hear them speak. Sometimes one will give more of a keynote or something, but you'll get to, some of them are very shy and they say, my name's Bob and I'm from somewhere, and that's all they say. And others kind of go on with their life story.
Yes.
And it's just so fun and interesting to see where they've come from and how their journey developed.
Yes.
You know, all different ages and all different backgrounds.
And all different stories. We're all called in different ways.
Exactly. And it's very inspiring. The food's always good. And the food's usually catered by the Buckhorn, I think.
Yes.
And, and I think another thing that really helps it is they move it around every year to a different parish.
Yes. We purposely move around so that different people can come to the event.
Yeah. And the Knights of Columbus are always involved.
Yes, they are. They really support us very much.
Yeah.
We also have a Sacramento Classic basketball game coming up that's priests versus seminarians. And that will be held on Tuesday night, June 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And the doors open at 6 p.m. And the game begins at 7. And that'll be held at Christian Brothers High School. You can buy tickets at the door, or you can do registration online. Again, that's www.scd.org/basketball. So www.scd.org/basketball.
And the tickets get you into the game. There's not reserved seating, though, so it's sort of
correct.
First come, first serve.
Find your seat.
It is usually packed.
Yes,
and it's really a lot of fun, but it's a real basketball game. There are referees that they bring in to
yes.
call the game, and used to be priests against the seminarians, and now they kind of mix the squads.
Yes. And the price is reasonable because it's $15 for adults, and $60 for a group of six adults.
Oh wow, that's a bargain!
And $5 for students. K through students, whatever that means.
Probably K through 12, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So if you want to be part of this, either get your ticket online or buy it at the door if there's any left, because
any left.
They go pretty fast.
And it is it's at Christian Brothers. It's their regular gym where they play basketball and volleyball, et cetera. And they do have concessions that night. The normal hot dogs and nachos and soda and stuff. So
yes.
Candy. So you can have dinner there too.
Yes, it's really a great event to watch the game.
And Bishop is usually there.
Yes, he is.
And then at the end, you get to see everybody out in the middle of the floor with the bishop. Salve Regina.
Salve Regina.
It just brings tears to my eyes just thinking about it.
Wonderful event, really.
Yeah,
is.
It really is. Again, that is the. Tuesday, the 18th. Yeah.
Correct. The doors open at 6. So.
Very good. And the game starts at 7.
Yes.
And probably none of the players will end up playing in Golden 1 for the Kings, but but they might. You never know. They might send
a
scout just to see. Yeah, that's right.
We also are going to have the Quo Vadis, and this isn't until August, but we're promoting it now so that you know.
Where are you going?
Where are you going?
Yeah.
That's what Quo Vadis means. And it'll be held in August 2nd through the 4th. Okay? 2nd through the 4th, once again at Trinity Pines.
And this is for boys.
And this is for boys ages 13 through 17. So if you have any children, or if you're listening to this and you're in that age range, please come. It's a lot of fun as well. The guys actually have some night events. Like barbecuing or toasting marshmallows in the fire, and they love to do that. So they have all kinds of games as well, and different types of spiritual talks to really help you discern what, where, and when God is calling you to.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Whether it's the priesthood, the diaconate, married life,
et cetera.
I think a lot of people don't realize, maybe growing up, about the diaconate and how important that is.
That's also an important role in the church,
yeah.
Yes. So all of the roles really are important.
Exactly.
You know? So it just depends on where your heart is leading you, where God is leading you. So,
right.
Yes. And so if you're interested in Quo Vadis, you can go online once again, Register at www.scd.org/Covadis.
Very good.
Okay, or call Maricela once again.
Right. Give that phone number again, yes, if you would.
916-733-0258.
Great. Okay. Great. And her last name's easier to spell than her first name.
Yes. That is true. And then finally, we also have a rosary that's being put on Zoom to pray for vocations, which is very important. We have this mother called Genevieve Corpus, and she's been very gracious to do this all year. In April, it will be on the 2nd of April and the 16th, and that will be the Glorious Mysteries. And April 30th will be the Luminous Mysteries. And what you need to do is send an email to dmccvocations@gmail.com. dmccvocations@gmail.com. And she will send you the link to join for the rosary. So once again, that's April 2nd through the 16th and April 30th. Those are the two Zoom meetings. And email dmccvocations@gmail.com.
Very good.
So those are all our events, and that's a lot.
That's a lot. And that just gets us till June.
Yes.
Or, well, I guess Quo Vadis is in August, yeah.
The last one.
Yeah, so do you probably are at all these events.
Yes, I am. Yeah. It's wonderful. Keeps me young.
Keeps you young. Absolutely. Well, yeah. Sister, thanks so much for all you do. And
thank you.
God's blessings to you in this wonderful Easter season.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Much appreciated. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. Thank you, Sister. I want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous. But a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover, a picture, maybe it's front, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow, says, I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us. Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you have worked at those places, are very familiar with those places, or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary and formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners in the annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their Severn District Councils, the North State, Placer, Yuba, Sutter, Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento, Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after-school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this Diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the court-appointed special advocate program, which is operated out of all the superior courts in the state of California, and it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about in this pamphlet a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the annual Catholic appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With coughs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The annual Catholic appeal, a wonderful, wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone.
Of questions, can I pour my heart out to a listening ear? Well, I see this life, its valleys and mountains, and I think of all the roads that brought me here. Oh, that brought me here. Walking down the road. Well, I've questioned my reasons, this life I'm living. I question my ability to judge wrong from right. Well, I questioned all the things I've ever called certain. My race, my religion, my country, my mind. But the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. You really love me like you say you do. So hold. Well, I've questioned significance, meaning, and relevance. Does the work I'm doing really matter at all. Well, I question my friendships, alliance, dependence. Who will still be here when I fall? But the one thing I don't